Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. I am Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Joe Kalis and Nathan Hetty in today. And you guys are the promoters, founders of Upper Cumberland Cards.
That's right.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Lovely to be here. Thank you.
So cards could mean anything. We could be talking about, you know, a deck of cards. We could talk about
Hallmark
greeting cards. Yeah, Hallmark. Are you guys trying to put Hallmark out of business?
But I did move to a Hallmark town in Livingston, Tennessee.
I think the Upper Cumberland is all Hallmark.
Okay.
That's pretty true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, sports cards to be exact.
Sports cards.
And collectibles.
So tell me what Upper Cumberland Cards is.
Well, Nathan and I we kind of knew each other because we met through a softball league. Our daughters demanded that we be friends, one of those things.
Yeah.
And so we met at a
play
softball
dates
game.
And you got to learn.
That never happened.
It was during COVID. So we just.
But my wife became Facebook friends with Nathan like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And nothing ever came about until we both set up our sports cards at a show in Sparta. So there was what was the Sparta venue?
I don't even remember.
The community center, Sparta Community Center. There was a sports card show, and we both were selling our stuff, and there was only five dealers there. So we became friends. And
so is that what you said promoters, but maybe your dealers is what your business card title should be?
We're jack of all trades when it comes to cards, really.
Well, it started as we were at a show and selling our cards, mm-hmm. and then nobody really came to that show. There was a very low turnout to that show. And I, being the entrepreneur that I am, I said, I can do better. Mm-hmm. So we game planned and we said, hey, should we do something bigger and better in Cookeville? Because I was in Sparta. And ultimately, we game planned to promote our own show. Talked to the guy who put on the show we met at, and he was fine with it. He's actually a dealer at our show now. So we improved upon it and became the show promoters for sports cards and collectibles in the Cookeville area.
So what is, I mean, as a kid that grew up in the 80s, 90s, I feel like, okay, yeah, like baseball cards were like a big thing or whatever, football cards and stuff like that. I didn't know this was still a thing. There's that place across from Spanky's that's maybe like a sports something or other.
It used to be.
Okay.
That was Bob's Collectibles years ago, and then it moved. And then it became actually more of a Pokemon Magic the Gathering shop. In fact, when that happened, they went out of their sports cards because the sports card industry did kind of go down a lot about 5-6 years ago. And I remember talking to the guy, and he's like, I'm just going to go to this. We can't even sell sports cards anymore. And then during COVID, it exploded. So you're not wrong. It did not disappear, but it definitely changed over the years. A lot of people had gotten out of it, and the people that are in it now are a lot of 80s and 90s kids mm-hmm. as adults that during COVID had some extra money, had a lot of time on their hands, and just started getting back into it, and it just exploded from there.
Have you guys always been into cards? I mean, obviously you guys have been on your own separate journeys, and you've just mm-hmm. recently come together. Have you always been into sports cards collecting? Were you, you know, a 10-year-old kid?
I don't actually know the answer for you, but for me, I collected as a kid, and then I grew up and stopped collecting. That era, 80s and 90s, is what they call the junk wax era. They overprinted everything. The cards these days aren't really worth much, so I kind of stopped. Grew up. Teenage years, high school, college, but then
did you get rid of all your cards at that time?
No, of course not.
What? Stuck them in a box, put them in the
There
closet.
Are horror stories of, you know, 50s and 60s Mickey Mantles and stuff that people threw away or burned mm-hmm. or threw in the river or whatever, like legit stories of million-dollar cards.
Mom did that because they were like, get your crap out of my house.
Yeah. And that's tragic because those cards are very rare. Needless to say, in 2020, COVID happened, and my family was compelled to move here to Tennessee randomly. And as I was packing up my house to move to Tennessee, which I never envisioned, I found my old card collection. And I'm like, and it was COVID, so it was lockdown in Chicago, especially. You couldn't really go anywhere or do anything without getting yelled at. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should get back into it. I was like reinvigorated. Cards to me, when I look at sports cards, baseball cards, I feel like a kid again. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I did when I was 9, 10, 11 years old and super pumped about it. And I saw my collection as I was packing to move here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I love sports cards. And then I don't even know. I went into a Facebook group or something. And And I very quickly got reborn into it because everybody was doing that because everyone's locked down looking for stuff to do. Cards exploded, and I'm like, this is the most amazing thing in the world. And I'm more excited now than I was as a kid because I understand how business works and I can make money doing it. And I'm like,
yeah,
I can play and make money. This is the best.
Marry two things into one. So, Nathan, what's your story? Were you a collector as a kid?
Yeah, very similar. I mean, I was the kid that rode my bike down the street to the card shop. You know, I remember like buying one pack was a big deal. Mm-hmm. You couldn't buy the cards like you can now, like singles.
Couldn't you get like either it came with gum or you got a piece of gum in the card pack thing or something like that?
Gum was all the way back.
I think I bought them for the gum.
Yeah, like all the way back to like the 50s. In fact, when they open up old packs, there's still old 50-year-old gum. But
And it's really good.
Yeah. So basically, same thing. Like, you know, grew up, got into college. You know, got married, so I put mine away. But I would every once in a while go to Walmart and maybe buy a pack or two. So I always kind of kept that little light there, but just never really got into it. And then COVID was the same thing. I was online.
I have this crate of cards somewhere around.
Same thing. You just kind of find it. You know, you kind of found a box. And then honestly, I saw like a couple cards that were blowing up on internet that were big. And I'm like, I think I had one of those. So, like, I go to look, and I didn't have it anymore, but I used to, so then it made me find the other stuff. And you're like, oh, man. And then you just start having conversation. I got into groups, too, and I, you know, connected with people all across the country doing that, and then just started, you know, buying cards, selling cards, and kind of just had a lot of conversation about it.
Do you feel like you guys are sports enthusiasts, or is that separate to be a card enthusiast?
Well, that for me, that's how I clung on all those years. I've always been a sports fan. Chicago sports. Frank Thomas was my guy in the 80s and 90s. He came up in 1990. Bulls, Blackhawks, White Sox, across the board. Who's the other team? Bulls, Blackhawks, Bears.
Bears.
I've always been a huge, huge sports fan, and that kept me alive. So then when I saw my cards, I'm like, Shaquille O'Neal, oh my gosh, I have all those rookies. I'm a millionaire. Like, I saw my cards, I'm like, I'm going to make $1 million. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And come to find out, that's not the truth. But yeah, sports has been the even thing. I mean, I'm usually wearing a sports hoodie.
It's Tennessee football.
That's true.
You both have football hoodies on. Nathan has a Packers, which I don't know. If we're allowed to support the Packers.
Well, we're rivals in like everything.
We get along really well, and it's kind of surprising because he's a Cardinals and a Packers fan.
Well, and just to put it all in perspective of the three of us sitting in this room right now, I'm a Detroit. So I grew up on Detroit sports, and the Tigers are.
We should be fighting right now.
As a little boy, I lived in Detroit for a while in Farmington Hills. Mm-hmm. And so first game I ever went to was Tigers, went to a Pistons game, so bad boy fan.
Yep.
So that was where it started for me, but I moved around a lot. I know.
We destroyed you, so it doesn't matter, but they were bullies.
They won two back to back first. But anyway. But it was one
Isaiah Thomas.
That's right.
Boo.
Joe Dumars.
We stole Rodman from you. So.
But it was one of those that I moved around a lot as a kid, and then we landed in St. Louis, and that's where I really became like big, passionate Cardinals fan. I already was a Cardinals fan, and then Blues. And so we have a lot of, we have a lot of rivalry type stuff. But the Detroit scene is great. I'm glad the Lions, like, even though they're a rival, how do you be upset that the Lions are good?
That's strange. We're both fans of the Lions right now.
I think everybody they were the Cinderella story this last season.
Right.
And I grew up with my grandpa every single year. Nobody else knew what to buy grandpa. So he would always get some sort of Lion something. I remember when trolls were big, it was like, Lions troll. And so I kept thinking this football season, like how great this was for him. He's still alive to see the Lions. I mean, I was just like, please let him see them in a Super Bowl in his lifetime. And clearly.
My wife is a Cubs fan, so she understands that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and I was part of the Red Wings era of when they hadn't been, in the playoffs forever. And so, Detroit sports, they're well-loved, but they don't do much. They struggle a lot. So you started, you kind of had this love for sports and cards and you've decided to start events. Where did the motivation think, okay, we can do this better and bigger?
Well, I brought my collection all the way down to Sparta and lugged it in early and sat there. And I'm like, I mean, I did actually sell a couple hundred dollars worth of stuff to like a 12-year-old kid.
You did the best out of everybody.
This kid came with his grandma and just starts whipping out hundreds. I'm like, yeah, let's go. But it was just that my entrepreneurial spirit is always anything I do, I'm like, we could do this better. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to burn the bridge with Gary Brady. He runs Brady Printing down in Sparta. Still friends. He's still a dealer at our show. And I said, Gary, listen, I want to make this thing bigger. Do you care? And he's like, fine. So I just wanted an avenue where I could sell more cards. And I knew it wasn't going to happen in Sparta. So I'm like, let's just bring it up. I'm from Livingston. I'm not even from Cookeville. But I'm like, Cookeville's perfectly central.
Mm-hmm. It's the hub.
And he was inspired. He was already planning some things. Like, he wanted to do something bigger and better. So we just kind of came together.
A big thing, too, is I've been to the shows in Nashville. And every time I'd go to a shop or a show, I'd run into people from Cookeville or Putnam County, Sparta.
True.
And it kept, you know, every single time we're like, oh, you drove down here too? Yeah, because there's nothing. There wasn't anything left. And so when I was at the last show last summer that I went to, I was like, why can't we do this here? I just didn't have a lot of people to connect with yet. So when we met, it was like, oh, my goodness. He's got the same vision I do. He's got a lot of the skills of putting things together that I'm more the behind the scenes kind of guy. I love dealing with people. I'm a people person, connecting with them. He's got a great mind to put things together.
And all the details.
All the details. And he's a big visionary dreamer. Like, I have the dreaming part, but I don't always know how to put it together. And so we kind of just put our heads together, and very quickly, because in fact, we're like, why can't we do this in a couple months? And then we wanted to do a trade night. And it was funny. We worked on the trade night and then it went really well, because I remember Joe was like, do you think anyone's going to come? I'm like, I don't know. We thought maybe five people, just us basically looking at cards.
Maybe.
And then 26 people, 30 people showed up. And it was funny, because that night he goes, aren't we supposed to plan? Weren't we going to put a show together in like 3 weeks? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So then it was like, well, let's just try. And then it literally has blown up from there. It just leaps and bounds, stuff I don't think we even envisioned to be that fast. No, did you?
Not at all.
So
we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue, across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Joe and Nathan, I'm going to say founders, because we've been going through some job titles here, but Upper Cumberland Cards.
It's not a job, though. I'm unemployable.
It is a, why is it not a job?
It's a passion slash business.
Are you making,
slash, I was going to say, it's becoming a business.
A
though.
Business is a job.
I don't have a W-2. That's why it's not a job. Moving on.
Well, just so you know, that's not the only way you're an employee, is if you're making money, it's a job. Anyway, so you were the founders of Upper Cumberland Cards, a sports cards and collectibles show that you've decided to start putting on. You had an event in early April, went great and fantastic, and your next event is
May 18th,
and where is that at?
Avery Trace Middle School.
Maybe Trace Middle School. And what can people expect as consumers coming to an event like this?
Well, I've coined the term, and it's kind of a joke with Nathan. I call it shenanigans. Anytime I add on something new, I'm a community.
I feel like you're just a shenanigans kind of person.
Right. That's why I think I'm going to create Shenanigans LLC to house all of this business, because he mentioned the show in Nashville, and it's a really well-known show. Most people in Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, go to it. And I want to create community. I want to create a memorable event where people come and they can bring their kids and have a great time and be like, remember when we went to the show at Avery Trace? That was awesome. Like, they had This time we have a radio station coming. We've got food vendors. We've got all kinds of stuff. Raffle, free giveaways, kids, free cards for kids. I just, every show, we got autographs this coming up here. So former athletes signing autographs. I call those things shenanigans. I just keep
they'll
adding
be
up.
At these events, or they're signing things in the
yeah.
At the event. Yeah.
So former Major League pitcher Tim Redding was at the show in April. We were found by an agent of former athletes. There's a guy named Joe Lynch. He's an agent in Pennsylvania, New York, somewhere in the East Coast. He saw our I don't know how he saw our stuff in a Facebook group. And he called me and he said, hey, I've got a roster of people. He named some people he had. And he's like, would you ever want them to come and sign autographs? I'm like, yeah. But yeah. How much does that cost? And what I had no clue. Like,
yeah, how it worked.
And promotion-wise, I have a history. I met my wife in college as a music promoter, so I've always been about creating a cool event, cool environment, community, getting people together, have a good time. And the heart of these shows is that I can play with cards and play with my toys, make some money, and have a good time, and just create an environment where people love to come and it's memorable. And it's Cookeville is we need fun stuff to do, and I hope that we're one of those things. And to Nathan's point about the card seer stuff that he does, and it's a philosophy that I like as well, we can help people understand their card. You have a crate of cards in your attic, your basement. You don't know what it's worth. You don't know who they are. You don't know what to do with it. We can help you with that. We can tell you it's worth nothing, or it's worth $1 million, or anywhere in between. And that the show is just a way to allow people to come and bring their stuff and show us.
So, Nathan, you've started doing consulting on business cards. How often do you have somebody that's like, you know, I'm the daughter and I went into my grandpa's, you know, attic and he passed away and I found this box of cards.
So it's actually getting kind of crazy. I was at Walmart up in Kentucky. We have a vacation place up at Somerset. So we went for spring break. I was on the way back, stopped in with my son to get a drink. Like, hey, let's go look at the cards. And an old lady came up to me and she was like, do you know anything about cards? And I turned around and I was like, a little bit. And she goes, well, my husband just died recently. I have a box of his cards. I know nothing what to do with them. I don't even know if they're worth anything. Would you know someone that could talk to me about it? That's literally one of the reasons why I started the Cards Here, was to help people. Because a lot of times, I've been in the card shops in Nashville when someone walked in, a widow, and she was trying to tell them, and they basically just blew her off and sent her away. You know, and he's right. There's a lot of junk wax. There's a lot of cards that may not be worth a lot, but they mean something to somebody. And they also just want to know. Like this lady said, even if they're worthless, I just want to know so I can either make some money or move on. I can keep
burn
my husband.
Them in the
burn
them.
Yeah. And so literally, like, we're standing there and she's like, can you give me your number? Can you? So I'm going to drive up next week to an hour away, hour and a half, to go meet this lady to look at her cards. So I've had a lot of that in the last probably 5 or 6 a month just kind of come out of nowhere. And a lot of it's through the card shows. A lot of it's people that, you know, drop stuff off or contact him or myself or my partner in Ohio. Like, it's just, there's ways that it's just organically kind of coming together. Because a lot of people have stuff they have no idea.
Yeah, I would say we have a local card shop, which not every town does, 931 Sports Cards and Collectibles on Jefferson in Cookeville. Awesome store. And stores don't really make money on older cards. And that's just, it's ultra modern. It's the names of today, any sport, anyone who's playing big right now, that's what sells in stores, and packs and boxes and ultra modern stuff.
I'm going to sound so stupid right now, but they're making new sports cards?
Every single, like there's a new product release, like 3 of them a week.
Wow.
And I'm talking like there's a box that was released this week of baseball, $25,000 for a box.
You would die if you knew how much money there was.
Yeah, and a card got pulled, a Beatles card got put into a baseball box that literally all 4 Beatles signed something years ago, and they put it into a card. It's probably going to sell for $1 million. It was pulled this week. So that stuff is constantly, whether it's online or in card shops, that's what he's talking about. And then there's singles.
We're going to go to the card store after this, and we're going to just blow your mind. They've been making cards since the 1800s.
Well, I mean, like I said, I know that. Yeah. And like, remember those dirt trash pail kit?
Garbage pail kits.
How dare you? Which,
by the way, those are super expensive now. Like, those are worth a ton.
Tiffany's getting pumped. She's like, oh, I got some cards.
I got to go back through my, weirdly enough, so that was, I played softball, and we got, you know, we got, that was part of the picture package. So if I sell you one of Tiffany
Anton card,
well, it's actually Tiffany Testa, because it's you know, it's the original.
That's a one of one. So
it is a one of one.
Yeah, she doesn't even know how valuable it is.
I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure it could go for $1 million.
There's such lingo, and like, there's such a, it's like you have to study cards these days. So what I was saying about the local card shop, 931 Cards in Cookeville, they sell modern stuff, right? That's what most people want. That's what most people are chasing. And the names, whoever won the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce blew up. Pop culture has a huge influence on the sports card world because he's dating Taylor Swift.
He is? Just kidding.
So I was going to say, I was like,
where have you been?
You record a radio show and you just said that.
Just kidding.
So pop culture has a huge impact. So like, we almost look to see like who the players are dating because we're like, well, you want to buy those low. It's like stocks. Yeah. It's like day trading. You buy it low and you sell high. It's no different. It's just,
I mean, let me just say, I know Reggie Bush because he was dating Kim Kardashian back in the day.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. So if you know of anyone dating, and you tell us, we'll buy the cards. So 931 buys, they sell modern. So the people who come in with old stuff, vintage, it's not as attractive because they can't really sell it in the stores because kids people are looking for modern stuff. So the show is a way that people can still come. The Card Sears is a great service where you can understand what stuff is worth because most people have the 80s and 90s junk wax and they can't afford the new modern stuff unless their parents, you know, bankroll them.
What are some collectible items that you see?
Funko Pops.
I don't even know.
Almost like a little bobblehead. They don't quite bobble, but it's kind of looks. That's what it looked like.
We got to go to Walmart after this. We're gonna blow your mind.
They're huge.
Funko Pops, diecast, which I had asked what that was. So we're not collectibles guys. We host a sports card and collectibles show because one of our friends is big into collectibles. But we're talking action figures. We're talking Garbage Pail Kid stuff. We're talking diecast, which is Hot Wheels and Micro Machines like
Star
Wars,
and Star Wars, movie type
vintage
stuff.
T-shirts.
Yeah,
so it's not at the the collectible part of things is not just sports,
right?
It's
correct.
Usually not. I mean, there's some autograph stuff, and that's more memorabilia, is what they call it. Comic books is not cards, but it's part of the collectibles world. Mm-hmm. Video games, gaming systems.
So people can look for all this coming up at one of your shows.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Joe and Nathan, founders of Upper Cumberland Cards. We're talking about your sports cards and collectible shows. So you kind of, you had this one night where you just had, you thought maybe five people would come in and just talk about like, here's, look at my cool Mickey Mantle card.
I wish I had a cool Mickey Mantle card.
By the way, just side note, Mickey Lolich. Okay, so Mickey Lolich was a Tiger, and we were at a Burger King one night in the town I grew up in, about an hour north of Detroit. My dad's like, hey, do you know who that is? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, it's Mickey Lolich. I'm like, doesn't he own that donut shop in town? And he was like, he's a Tiger. I was like, oh, but he did own it. He did own the donut shop. So I was really excited as like a 10-year-old kid that the donut shop guy was in there. But, Mickey Lolich baseball card might matter. But anyway, so you're at this thing. You think five people are going to come.
Yeah, so a trade night, he mentioned, is where a bunch of nerds sit around and they bring their collection and we just throw it on a table and trade instead of the object of a show is to buy and sell. Mm-hmm. A trade night is just come in and trading. So it's a community thing. It's just a little different. And it kind of blew up and we were like, well, we said we'd have a show. So Nathan is a pastor of a church, and we didn't have a venue, so we're like, hey, can we just throw a bunch of tables on the ground in your church? So we decided to do that. We determined we could fit 28 tables in a sanctuary and quickly sold those out. I was like, I didn't think 30 people would show up to a trade night. I certainly didn't think we'd be able to sell 28 tables.
No.
And in like 3 days, they were all sold. I'm like, we got a problem. Can we go in that room over there too? And he's like, sure. Yeah. So we got another 20 tables and then those sold. And we're like, what's upstairs?
You found out we had a loft. You're like, what's upstairs? I'm like, well, there's actually a youth loft up there and it's wide open.
Like, yeah. He didn't use it much. And we're like, how many tables? So we ultimately packed his church full in three rooms of 70 tables, sold them all. That was January 6th.
Yeah.
Do you have, so you know, you kind of have to market to people who want to come and sell and they want to purchase a table from you, rent a table to sell. And then, but you want to have consumers come that want to purchase cards.
Yes.
So do you, is everybody just selling to each other, or do you have consumers that just want to come to see these collectible items,
yes,
or just kind of hang out and
all of it,
listen to the music and food and all that kind of stuff?
I like that you paid attention to my shenanigans.
I did.
Music, food, radio station.
Yeah, I mean,
and some people like walk the room. Like, we have a friend of ours we've connected with that he's a dealer, and he would get a table, but like he would walk through and buy cards off of people first, and then he would go set up and then sell.
So would he sell? Like, would he mark?
Yeah. Oh. Well, and that's okay. Like, we kind of know that. Like I basically had a lot of cards that he liked. I was surprised. He came over. He offered me something I couldn't refuse. Uh-huh. And I took it knowing he's probably going to make a little profit. That's okay.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of trading. Like, there's a lot of kids there. And this is my favorite, like my passion, because, and I think Joe too, because we were kids in this. We had people that may have, you know, traded with us or whatever. And so I like to be able to trade cards. And so I've traded with, you know, 12-year-olds, 13-year-old kids. And then give them some free stuff. And it's just, that's what the hobby is. So we do make some money. Some kids walk out with some cards. Some others make money. But it's lighting that fire for other people in the hobby, too.
Well, and raising kind of the younger generation up to
yeah,
love this, too. So, Joe, you mentioned that you're an entrepreneur. You have the entrepreneur mindset. So is this the intention of this Upper Cumberland Cards? Is it a business or is this a passion project?
I didn't mean for it to be. I literally didn't think people were going to come to a trade night, and then we're like, hey, let's have a show. And so selling the tables, we didn't make a ton of money necessarily, but now there's people asking to be sponsors of the show, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, people just keep bringing up stuff, and I'm like, sure, we could do that. But I never intended for it to be a revenue generator, but it will be.
I mean, we woke up this morning, got on Facebook, and the local Holiday Inn had a sponsorship on Facebook.
They're running a paid ad
yeah,
for us.
For us. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And it said, come to the show. And so I wrote Joe because he's the promoter. I'm like, did you do this? And he's like, no. And then I realized I had gone to, like, I guess the only thing I could put together is I had gone to visit Cookeville, set up an event, because it did tie back to that. And then they must have got a sponsorship. And next thing you know, we have, like, you know, here's this big hotel name promoting us. Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy. It's like, then you realize there is a lot of opportunity for just a lot of connection and a lot of things.
So now that you've seen that there's an opportunity, you've seen that there's a community of collectors, of traders, you do want to make this a bigger thing, and you are looking to do this as a consistent monthly event,
yeah,
where you have a show every single month. Is there a consistency where it's like the third Saturday? What do you plan on doing?
First Saturday, the show in Nashville, it's actually in Antioch, Tennessee, the Lighthouse Christian Academy School. We don't conflict with them. So they're on the second and fourth of every month. So we go on the first of the month, so we don't conflict with them.
Except for May 18th, that is not the first.
There's a couple we've had to switch up, yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple we have
third.
To.
But it's not the first.
In July, we
had to move up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's either going to be the first or the third.
Logistical nightmares you don't want to know about.
Listen, I do a lot of event planning. I know about all that stuff. So so it'll be either the first or third Saturday of the month.
Correct.
Is your plan to keep it at Avery Trace for a while? Is that
kind of
what we're looking at?
Yeah, so the church, we sold out two shows at the church.
Outgrew the church.
January, February, sold them out. April was our first show at Avery Trace. We were blessed with the opportunity to have their gymnasium, which is amazing. Still can't believe it.
And it's a great location.
Great.
You know,
yeah.
Good
pretty,
parking.
Yeah, middle of Cookeville kind of thing.
Everyone knows it. Put 100 tables on the floor and it's...
You can go work out at the Y
totally.
You know, afterwards.
That's totally what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah.
So what can people look forward to at the May event coming up? Is there any food that, you know that's going to be there? What can we look forward to in May?
So the food trucks we have are, and we have a list of more, and I don't know what we're going to do as far as cycling them around or whatever, but Pizza Machine 3 came to the second show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as long as their bus doesn't break down again,
yeah,
it's,
got hit.
It's
yeah,
so sad.
Poor Dylan.
I know.
But I think he's back up and
so
going.
So we got
now.
Pizza, we got smoked sausage, we got some desserts, we got some lemonade, we got all kinds of food vendors, which is amazing. We've got free raffle. We got free cards for kids.
And is there an admission into this?
No. Great question. Thank you for saying that. No, it's free to attend.
So this is a free family friendly event.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can bring your family out for the day. What time? What are the hours of the event usually?
8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So you're Saturday morning. You're looking for something to do. Get your kids out of the house, family out of the house. Even if you're not necessarily a card collector or a sports fan, it sounds like there's something for everybody. Whether, I mean, I think just seeing some of the cool...
Shenanigans
and the collectibles that you know from your childhood are I had a lunchbox that I had that trash, what are they called?
Garbage pail kids
stickers on, like, and I probably put my Barbies in
you could buy a new old one.
I could
buy at our show.
There you go. And I mean, I think just seeing,
feel like
some
a kid again.
Yeah, that, like, oh man, I remember this. Any Barbie, any girl stuff, like Barbies that people?
Oh yeah.
If you don't show up, I'm gonna be upset. It's 3 to 10. Bring your family.
I'm sure my girls would love going to it.
Yeah, and your wallet would be much emptier.
Well, I would think my wallet would be okay. But anything else that you want people to know about your event, or how can people follow along and know more about you guys?
Upper Cumberland Cards on Facebook is where we post most of our stuff, events and promotion. We have giveaway stuff that we promote. There's a... we try to get an autographed jersey every time, and then they call it wax boxes of cards that we give away for free. Free to attend, you get free stuff. It's a good old time. We'll have music. And
can you say free one more time?
Free.
And we also put out content on that, on the Upper Cumberland Cards, where we do like videos about the hobby.
Yes.
We teach some, you know, because I have friends that'll ask me, like, we have no idea. You talked about the lingo earlier. Like, we have no idea what you're saying. Can you talk to me like a five-year-old? Like, teach me. So we put some of that stuff out there to let people know what the hobby's about,
the
cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, we put it on YouTube. And
are you Upper Cumberland Cards on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have a website? People could go to a website?
No? You wouldn't believe it, but uppercumberlandcards.com.
Uppercumberlandcards.com. So everywhere across all the platforms, look for Joe and Nathan on Upper Cumberland Cards. What's your plan over, I mean, this, you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants a little bit of just like,
world domination is next.
Which I think is kind of the way you operate.
Yeah.
I think you're always kind of flying by the seat of your pants show. But what's like a 5-year plan? If you had to say right now, okay, Joe's eyes.
I just hope I'm
like
still here in 5 years.
Real
I don't know.
Big. What's your 1-year plan for this event?
Well, we're driving Lamborghinis from the north.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean,
you can take me for a ride when you get that Lamborghini.
You can help me get out because I can't get out of one of those.
You sound like you're an 80-year-old man.
Have you ever? Never mind. Okay.
We are after setting up for one of these shows.
I mean, this year we're doing monthly shows, except for when there's like big, huge national shows across the country from time to time. So we don't do shows on those months. But other than that, monthly show, adding more shenanigans, having more fun, and I like feedback. I like asking people what they love or would like to see.
I'd like to see a bounce house. I think.
I've been thinking about it, and I want to grow the community and give them something fun to attend, and introduce people to the hobby, reintroduce some people to the hobby. It's the best thing in the world when we see old farts like us bringing their kids and passing it on to the next generation.
Well, and I think just having a monthly event like this, that it's similar to taking your kids to, a concert at the park or something like that, where it's just can become a staple of this community.
Honestly, I probably will introduce live music soon, because I'm a music promoter. That's my world. And I think that would be a really cool element.
I'd like to see Tyrone Carver as the DJ at the event.
You'll have to explain to me who that is later.
He's pretty amazing. And so he's like, I mean, I know a lot of DJs. They're all great. Wonderful.
I mean,
Tyrone's.
You can come on board and just take over and give us more ideas.
There you go. Yeah, I'm definitely an ideas girl.
You're Tiffany Anton. That's powerful.
Right. I mean, Tiffany Pesta with the baseball card, though. Remember?
I need it.
The OG.
One of one.
I'm going to find them and bring them to you.
Please.
You can frame it and sell it at the...
May 18th. If I don't see you there, you're in trouble.
Sounds great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. Check out Upper Cumberland Cards across all the social media platforms. Joe and Nathan, you guys are great. Best of luck to you guys. I hope that everything goes successful. Any other last minute parting words?
Thank you. You're the best.
You're the best. Thanks, guys.